Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the adult discussion class here at Wings Christian Fellowship. The beautiful lady over there, would you open in a word of prayer?
Let me swallow my donut.
Yes. Father, we just thank you for this day and every day that you give unto us, Lord. We thank you because we know each day is a day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So, Father, we ask that in this class, that you reveal yourself to us, in us, and through us, oh God. And we won't fail to give you the praise and you the glory as you just teach us and bring us up into a higher place in you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord.
Well, I have one big announcement. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, the aunts, the sisters, the women, the stepmoms.
So happy Mother's Day to both of you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks. And I wanted to get your opinion on, do you want to go on to chapter 13 today? We've barely got into the last five verses of chapter 12. I think you did the prophets. Or no, first the apostles.
We didn't do all of them. Did you? The papers we handed out?
Yes.
Yeah. No, we didn't do them all.
We didn't
do
them all. Let's continue, didn't
we? No, we didn't. So do you want to, or?
Sure, might as well finish it.
Okay, well then, how about this morning, that handsome guy over there reading to us, from 27 through the end.
Okay. Is it your turn?
Yeah.
Or did you read last week, buddy?
I
thought she did too. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's reading what is he reading?
27?
Verse
27, yeah.
Through the end.
Now you, collectively, are Christ's body, individually, you are a member of it. Each part?
Severally.
Several. I thought we. This looks familiar.
Yeah, we did read that, but
okay.
We're reading it again.
So, really, and distinct, each with its own place and function. So, God has appointed some in the church for his own use. First, apostles, special messengers, second, prophets, inspired preachers, and expounders, third, teachers. Then wonder workers, then those with ability to heal the sick, helpers, administrators, givers of different unknown tongues. All are apostles, special messengers. Are all prophets inspired interpreters of the will and purpose of God? Are all the teachers, you all have the power performing miracles? You all possess extraordinary powers of healing? You all speak with tongues? You all interpret? But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces, the higher gifts and the choicest graces, and yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one that is better for by far and the highest of them all, your love.
Amen. That's great. Well, I do remember that we talked about first apostles, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, 'cause I had.
And you read it. Are you? Did you read as much as you wanted to?
I want to share some. Where it talks about the apostles and which are prophets, which I was reading yesterday in Acts, reading about Peter and after. Christ had ascended and then went on talking about, and I was looking at the boldness after they'd been in the upper room and the Holy Spirit and that, the boldness that Peter had and John, and what they said and how they told him not to preach in the temple anymore, and they had him, that's when they were in the prison, and then when the angel came and opened the loose, then they went out. And so when they came to get them the next morning, they were in the temple preaching.
Oh my goodness.
And everything was still sealed up. They didn't know how they got out of there. And then it was talking about Stephen. And many miracles were performed by Stephen. And then they brought them. I was just looking at the boldness and all that God was performing in and through them. Mm-hmm. And I was just saying how I know that Christ would so, and I see, you know, I can say love is the greatest, mm-hmm. but out of love is that you do and be. And I, yeah.
That's great.
Yes.
Out of the authority. Yes. You know, Jesus Christ gave us the authority, you know, to do these things. And I don't think we're fully walking in our
the
knowledge of who we are.
The potential of Him that is in us.
Yes. Yeah.
I just looked at the boldness there and said, who are to read, listen to you, obey you, or obey God? That's mm-hmm. what. And so no matter what the circumstance or situation, we obey God,
mm-hmm.
what He says, mm-hmm. and what He is.
That kind of reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
I was going to say the very same thing. Maybe He will, and maybe He won't, maybe. But if He does or He doesn't, we're...
They bow to what man went back in that day, so they...
That's great, buddy.
Yep.
I said, yes.
Okay, so...
I see a look on somebody's face over there.
Well, I didn't know if I should say anything.
Yes,
boldness came when the Holy Spirit was given to us. That was really the boldness that came upon us. Mm-hmm. Because through that boldness, we're led and we're guided to be His living epistles, read of all men. And in that boldness, we no longer... I listened to what you said. You don't think we're living to the fullness in that. Well, we're not, because we don't believe the power of the Holy Spirit that much. We fight between this and that all the time. But the whole thing comes down to, whom do you believe? Do you believe God's word? Do you believe that He sent the Holy Spirit? He wasn't going to leave any of us comfortless. So, I mean, I get great comfort in the Holy Spirit. But I also, what chapter were you reading? Just now.
12.
27
to the end.
Where, I mean, there's certain things I think that we'd like to say that we're there, knowing that we're telling a half-truth. But it's just like, we'll probably be there when we take this upon ourselves. I mean, and it comes upon us. When it says that, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncommonly parts have more abundantly comeliness, and our commonly parts have no need, but God had tempted the body together, had tempered the body together, having given the more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. So actually, a lot of our needs that we don't realize in the body of Christ is going to come from not the one that has the abundance, but actually it's going to come out of the one that lacks. Because we'll see that we'll nourish those, and we'll build up those and encourage those that are in need, so we can rightly fit together, jointly fit together, where all things will be supplied. I mean, we'll no longer go, well, you know, we know that part has an abundance of this, but we'll pray. What's it say? I lose scripture there. Where it says that all those that have gone before us can't come to completion without us.
Yeah.
So there's a race that we're in, and that race is that we bring the rest of the body with us. And if we look back and see some that are lacking back, then we ought to slow down. And maybe we ought to go back and help me not only encourage you, but, I mean, don't you think that we've already seen the day where we've been strengthened by God to strengthen others? Isn't that His whole purpose, that where one has a need, then we see that which is in need, and we supply that need? Yes. Brother Shepherd used to talk about that all the time.
Yes.
I mean, and that's been a long time ago. And I think that, you know, it's just like what I got out of Brother Shepherd was the fact that listen what people are saying, but he said, but fine-tune what the Spirit's saying through them, mm-hmm. because they might not hear the same.
Mm-hmm.
But He's given you ears to hear. And then hearing that, you can go ahead and provide something that they haven't even asked for. You know, we used to sing a song, God knows what we have need of before we pray. I mean, we know the answer's on the way. I mean, all this is true. But the thing is, I think today when you told Oscar, you got good results. Praise the Lord. Yes. I already seen you high-stepping in that. Mm-hmm. And that don't mean we, you know, what's the song say about leaping and... praising God.
Praising God.
I see that as an antidote or a substance of the Holy Spirit moving in us, the body of Christ, to where we walk in encouragement daily. Though they suffer and they look back in discouragement, we look forward to that which the cross has purchased already, which is a done work. That's what he said. He said, of course, he didn't say it. Wait a minute. He said it was finished. And when he said it was finished, I believe that's what he meant. It wasn't just his work that was finished, but it was finished for all mankind. You quote that scripture, and I'm probably blowing it out of the water. He would that none would perish. That's a tremendous insight for the body of Christ to go, oh.
That says he's not willing that any perish.
Yeah.
What you were talking about, Clive, was smack dab on the story that Mike tells. In a race, and you said, if we see people slagging behind, we ought to not.
He was a living example of that.
Well, that's just what I was going to say.
Did that remind you?
When I ran that marathon, I came around that corner, and there was that guy struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he could barely.
I mean, he was looked like he was going to fall down.
And you put your arm around
him. I put my arm around him and I said, are you okay? And we kind of walked and I asked him where he was from. You know, we just got to talking, just conversation. He said, I'm with a group from a church in Georgia where we ran running this race. And we walked for about a quarter of a mile or so. And I said, are you okay? And he said, go ahead. You know, I mean, I knew that I'd never see him or... And I didn't even ask him his name. I mean, I had no idea who he was. But that's a prime example of what you were just saying.
Well, the other example of you doing that was the fact that God is a teacher. God's always teaching us. He's teaching us through the Holy Spirit at all times. Mm-hmm. We need to know that we're not the teacher. We're still the student. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not the head. We're part of the body. That head, what flows out of the head, is that thing which encourages us. I know, I shouldn't say I know because I don't like people putting me in the same group, but there's been mornings you didn't feel like getting out of bed. But I want to tell you something. Once you focused on getting out of bed and those feet hit the ground, you said, thank you, Jesus, for being able to even feel your feet on the ground. From that moment on, you didn't look back. You moved on to what he had prepared for you. And that's the other thing. He has prepared for us things that we don't even know. That's why I pray for people that I'm going to meet today, this afternoon, tomorrow, whatever the day is. When we're in a new day, we should realize God's got something new planned for somebody else. But it includes you. It don't disclose you. It includes you. That when you come up to somebody, you might find somebody around the corner that's not feeling good, or a neighbor or whatever. You haven't seen him for a couple of weeks. Doesn't take a whole lot for you to knock on their door.
I also loved what you said, Clyde, about it'll be when it's coming out of those who are weaker than us.
Yeah.
That is when you see that the body of Christ is coming together, because we expect boldness out of the bold one among us.
Well, I tell you
but what. When the meekest among us is able to stand up and be bold in the Lord, then we know, buddy, we're on our way.
Well, you know, we all say, well, I'll even, like a lot of us say, we lead a mundane life. We get up and do the same thing every day and go. But the truth is, every day is different.
Oh, it is.
It's totally different. And there are new things coming our way every day. And we should... It's our job to have our eyes open to see them.
Well, don't you think we should look for that? His mercies are new and fresh every day. We should look for that mercy new and fresh every day. Yes. And if we're looking for it, I believe that God, by His Holy Spirit, will direct us to walk in it. Mm-hmm. And man, wouldn't it be something to walk in a freshness and newness of His life every day? To where, I tell you what, we look at things that maybe we didn't give mercy before, but by golly, it's pouring out of us now. And you know, because I heard Uncle Paul say about, you know, why would we do this and do this? Because in Thessalonians, in the fifth chapter, it's about 27, 28 verse, it said, do not quench the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that so many times to where people would start to do something. I mean, when I was a young Christian, I was 18 when I got saved. But it wasn't long, I felt this from a lot of people. And you need to calm down a little. Calm down a little. And the Holy Spirit was telling me, no, you don't. No, you don't. He goes like this. He said, whom I set free is free indeed. Now, you can come under that if you want to. But to me, it's just like watching the tradition of the elders, which make the word of God of none effect. I mean, it doesn't matter who they are. Who leaves their hands off, I want you to go on. Like that guy, say, oh, I'm okay, go ahead, go on. Because you know what? He's more, Mike was concerned if he was okay. Once he found out it was okay, the guy gave him the okay to go on, go on, go on. What was he doing? Mike was there to encourage him. But what ended up happening? It reversed. Mm-hmm. He encouraged him. He said, yeah, I'm fine. Go ahead and go on. And that is the purpose of God in you. Mm-hmm. God in you, the hope of glory. Mm-hmm. Now, God in you and the hope of glory is not supposed to be God in you, the only hope of glory. We're supposed to give that away. Why? Because we get new and fresh every day.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that, Clyde, is this, that happened during the end of the race. And I ran the last miles of the race faster than I ran the first ones.
The wind beneath your sails.
Yeah. The fresh wind of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, you know, it's just, I was reading something in here. It says, here's the one I really wanted to go to. 26th verse in the 12th chapter. It says, mm-hmm. And whether one member suffer, well, I got your attention there, all the members suffer with it. Now, we don't have a lot of volunteers want to go into that suffering. But it says that if we're going to reign with Him, we must fellowship in the sufferings. We must actually partake of that suffering.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and that's Christ that that's talking about. It says, but if one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. I mean, it comes in, to me, it's almost like a birthday. Some people have birthdays the same day. Well, some of us don't. But I've been one that's had a birthday with two other people before in the church. So have you. I mean, three of them coming in together. We honor all of them the same. All of them the same. And that's an opportunity, opportunity. It's just like Mother's Day. I wonder where that came up from. Anyway, Mother's Day, to honor all women. All women. You know, I had an aunt, Maxine, I think her last name was Mueller. Mueller?
Yeah.
I had an aunt, Maxine. She never had any children. But I want to tell you something. She was a mother to a lot of them. Mother. Ina McNinch was my Sunday school teacher. She had two daughters and a son. On the day that she graduated and we laid her to rest, I went up to her youngest daughter, the only one living, the only one left alive on this earth. And I said, I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate your sacrifice with your mother for us. She started crying. And I go like this. I said, I never took her for granted. The fact are, I said, the sacrifice had to come through somebody. You might have said that it might have been your mother or your dad, but actually I realized it was the kids. I said, but I bless you in the name of Jesus for her sacrifice toward you. Because it had to be. She just broke down and cried. And I said, God needs to move upon all of us where we see how God meets our needs through individuals. And it's just like, Chuck, if you don't care, I want to tell Chuck's story. Chuck was in a hurry to go to a doctor's appointment, and he seen some lady with a flat tire or gas or something like that. I think it was gas. And he said, well, get in. So she got in. He went 3 miles toward his doctor, turned around, got gas, took her back, put the gas in her car, made sure she could run, and then got to the doctor. He said, Clyde, he said, when I did that, I only had 5 minutes to get to the doctor or I was going to be late. He said, we don't realize that God's an on-time God and time's in his hand. He said, I got there 2 minutes early. Now, in the natural, we don't see that happening. Is that right? I mean, we don't see that happening in the natural.
Well, you take it for granted.
Yeah, but in the spirit, which that's really where our motive should be, in the spirit, God says, I'll show you how it happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, he holds time in his hand. When we sing out one song, time is in his hand. I believe that. I actually believe it. Matter of fact, I like to take a bunch of watches and just put them here and just put them at his feet. All of the time's in his hand. I mean, we don't know the time or the hour, right? I mean, there's so many things. I love what you say, Oscar, about there's so many things I'd be willing to trade for the things I know for the things I don't know. But guess what? We should enter in as the body of Christ to the area of knowing. And knowing, therefore, know that we get to share and we get to give and we get to see things happen. Wow.
Wow.
Brother Eddie. Was it Brother Eddie? No, he was there. Brother Eddie was on the pulpit area, sitting down. And it was my turn to speak for Sister Hetty Hubbard. Well, I put her flag, the Christian flag, out there where she used to stand. And I had the people stand up and salute that flag. I said, you don't realize we're saluting a daughter of God right here. And I had one woman come up to me. She said, because I believe God works like this. I've never, ever heard or been in a place where that's been done. To me, I'm willing to allow God to take whatever I haven't done and show me and be that. Because I have so much hope in him completing the course that which he began in you, he will finish. Right?
Yes.
I mean, yeah. we have to, if we've ever been patient with anything, it probably we ought to be patient with God. Because over the years, I've always thought that because of the microwave, that's an example, I want it and I wanted it yesterday. Or I want it done, and I want it done now. Everything's a microwave. It's like we're living in a microwave generation. I mean, and Oscar has taught me over the years. Let me correct that. The Holy Spirit through Oscar has taught me over the years that we should, shame on us for not doing this, we should count the cost. I mean, we were living in a society. I know the scripture says in Christ Jesus there's neither male nor female. Well, I believe that kid out in California was right. In the beginning, he created man, and out of man, he created woman. All things were made by him and for him, and without him was nothing made. I'm telling you about the changing of identity. The only identity we need to change is in let them see Jesus. Let them see Jesus. And the only hold up, and I mean, I got to look in the mirror and say this. The only hold up this world has in seeing Jesus is right here in that mirror. The amount that I allow him to live through me, in him we move, we breathe, and have our being. So we walk into a hopeless situation. Why do we walk in that? So there can be hope. That's why. I mean, how many relatives that you've known over the past that felt like they had no hope, but yet you walked into their life and one of the first things God said, and we shouldn't hesitate at this at all, he said, speak to them life. Mm-hmm. Speak life into that situation. Even where many times he spoke this, he goes like this. He said, choose ye life or choose ye death. Then he reminds them, choose life. That means they're in a desperate situation. They're in a deadly situation. And we need Christ in us, does it? Speak to those situations. Not, but I mean boldly, like the Holy Spirit's in it. And that's exactly what's in it. Because he wants us to speak boldness unto death and against things that will kill, steal, and destroy. That's not God. He doesn't kill, steal, and destroy. He promotes life in every one of us. I should shut up.
Well, Clyde, when you said it's us, when you look in the mirror, it goes back to what you were saying earlier about being the student. Because if you're the teacher, you're looking in the mirror and say, well, I already know all this. Now I got to just relate it. There's nothing else for me to know. And for me, one of the things I always say is I try to learn something new every day. It might be totally irrelevant to anything I want to do, or, but learn something new every day. And, you know, and what I really should be doing is learn something new in Christ.
Well, I'll tell you what, Oscar told us a story about his sister.
Sandra?
About Sue?
Yeah, Sue. And about her grandbaby crawling in bed with her and getting up to her where she's right here nose to nose. And what's she doing? She's looking at her eyes. And in her eyes, who's she seeing? She's seeing herself, the reflection of herself.
That was little Jerry that did that, yeah. Jerry, when he was little, he laid in her, she'd wake up.
He'd be right
and
there.
His nose would be against her nose. And what the Lord was dealing with me about in that situation was that when it talks about us seeing him as in a glass darkly, you know, face to face, when we see him as he is, then what will happen is that we've come so close to him that when we look in his eyes, we see ourselves there, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's a scripture says in the Old Testament that they're the apple of his eye. And what that word apple there in that particular scripture means little man of the eye. Mm-hmm. Who's the little man of the eye? Mm-hmm. Whoever's close enough to where they can see their reflection in his eye.
Right.
That's the little man of the eye, of his eye.
That's where I want you know.
That's right.
That's a good story.
The only thing I'd like to say concerning some of the stuff that you said, I think it was very good, but I will say this about boldness. Some people are naturally bold. They're naturally bold. Mm-hmm. Those kind of people, the Lord backs them off a little bit.
That's good.
The right. People who aren't bold, the Lord pushes them forward a little
yes.
bit.
Yes, amen.
Now, like Peter, you know, when Jesus started talking to them about, you know, that he was going to suffer and he had to die and all this and that.
Oh.
And he said, not so, Lord, not so, you right. know. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was rebuking Jesus, you know. He going to tell Jesus what the situation was. Jesus, what did Jesus say to him? Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't savor the things of God.
Right.
You savor the things of man, is basically what he told him. Now, later on, he told Peter, he said, when you've been converted, do what? Strengthen the brother.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and
right.
It has to be that conversion, and that conversion comes with the Holy Spirit taking over in your life and you being bold when the Lord tells you to be bold,
right.
You being meek and mild when the Lord tells you to be meek and mild. And there's sometimes when you're not supposed to speak or you're not supposed to say anything. And you know, so there's a balance in boldness too, but I do believe that God, when God tells you to do something, you should do it, and you do it with the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know, imagine this now. We know that Peter had went in the book of Acts, and he had said to the man laying at the beautiful gate, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ. He grabbed him by the hand and jerked him up, basically. And that's where that walking and leaping came from. He went walking and leaping and praising God into the temple.
Right.
You know, all right. Now that's wonderful. And he had the boldness. But you also got to remember that it wasn't too long after that that him and Paul got together, and Paul rebuked Peter because he told Peter, he said, you're spying out someone's liberty in Christ because, and basically what they were doing when, and I hate to put it in this blunt of terms, when a man would go take a leak, basically, they were spying out to see if he'd been circumcised. And they were telling people that they had to be circumcised because that was something that was given to the Jews. And Paul was telling him, oh no, he says, you're wrong in this, buddy. But he got right on him.
Yeah.
You know, but Peter and them were bold. But there's a balance in all that. God, you should be bold when God's inspiring you to be bold. You should speak up, and when God's inspiring you to speak up. And you're going to find out, and one of the other things you were saying I thought was really good, though, you was talking about identity. I think mankind in general is walking in mistaken identity. And you say, well, I swear, what do you mean by that? Well, watch a Bengals game. That's all you got to do. Watch a Bengals game. And you'll see men down there with their face painted red like a tiger with stripes and everything else. And it might be some big executive of a company, or it might be some little guy with a shop down the street, you know, or something.
That's right.
But what's he doing? He's trying to take the identity of that football team because it makes him feel more complete. And the only thing that can really complete man is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. The Spirit of God is the only thing that can complete you. And, you know, I hate to say this, but I think I've made some people mad at me over the last few years because, you know, everybody was getting so political out there, and everybody was just political, political, political. And I was just telling people, you're not a Democrat, you're not a Republican, you're a Christian. Quit identifying with these other things. You vote one way, you vote however you want to vote. But don't let your identity be swallowed up in the world. And that's what that is. The political system is the world. If you let your identity get swallowed up in that, then you know what? Those people are hating each other, fighting at each other. We don't need to be doing that. We need to be loving people, you know. So there's a real balance. And if we're not careful, sometimes we can find ourselves slipping right into those things. Well, my Uncle Harry, he was a Democrat, and this guy was a Democrat, and I'm going to be a Democrat. You know, I was raised a Democrat, I was raised a Republican, or I was raised an independent. All that stuff is crap. I hate to say it, I mean, I'll put it to you bluntly, it's all crap. You need to do what you feel like the Lord tells you to do, and you don't need to identify with any of those outside groups. You know, you need to identify with Christ. And because you vote a certain way or you do something a certain way, that don't make you that. It just makes that the way you vote. Don't let your identity be swallowed up in something other than Christ. And there's a lot of that going on in this world today. I mean, it's a shame, and I see it and I think, oh God, when are they going to wake up? When's people going to wake up and realize those political leaders and those people out there, that is not your answer. Jesus Christ is your answer. Those guys, they'll all tell you anything to get you to vote for them and stuff. And yet, there ain't none of them doing none of the stuff that they tell you when they get there. You know, it's all smoke and mirrors. And I find so many people get so eat up in that stuff. And they don't realize they're letting their identity slip over into something, things of the world. And that's not who you are. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. And that's who you need to be. It's okay however you vote. You vote however you feel like you're supposed to vote. But don't get so eat up in this that you hate people because they're voting a certain way or they're doing this or they're doing that. We're supposed to love everybody. And that stuff, you know, like I say, I'm sure, because I could tell what was happening out there sometimes when I would say that. And I was only saying that because I felt like the Lord wanted me to say that. You know, that's mistaken identity. Don't get yourself into an identity that is of this world. And that political stuff out there, that's of this world. It's the kingdoms of the kingdoms of this world have to become the kingdoms of our Lord in what?
His
who? Is Christ.
Right.
That's us.
Right.
Okay, we got to wake up and quit allowing other things to influence our lives so strongly.
Well, I saw a thing the other day. I saw a sign the other day. It was actually today, yesterday. It said, love is an action, not a feeling.
That's right. That's true.
Clyde,
that's absolutely true.
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, when we realize what is the most important thing as the body of Christ for us to do?
To love one another.
Show forth Christ in that love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. When you see two people fighting, then all of a sudden they're hugging on each other and they're apologizing. And the one who never started, because this is what the Lord taught me a few days ago. Actually, it's been the last 51 years. What shall separate us from the love of God? I'll tell you what, I'm willing to take the blame when I ain't blamed. I want it settled. I want it done. What does Christ want? He wants it settled. It was settled on Calvary. We're way behind that. Way past it. We live in a day that Calvary's already happened. Not gonna happen. I know there's a bunch of people out there don't know that it's happened. And that's kind of a responsibility for us. But the facts are this. The most important thing is nothing shall separate you from the love of God. And to be honest, as the body of Christ, nothing should ever separate us from the body. I mean, when you say wake up, that's what we need to wake up to. Is this causing division? Forget that. Well, I wanted to know where I stand. I said, I want to tell you something. If you dropped off your cross to know where you stand, you're standing in the wrong place. Because we're supposed to carry the cross of Christ to let people know that's who we identify with. I mean, in that identity, I've never been stronger than I am today. Is that true or lie?
Well, think about Jesus on the cross. There was what on either side of him?
The thief?
Two thieves. Two thieves. But yet, what did he say? One said to him, if you're, which is a negative thing,
right.
if you're really the, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, if you're really the Christ, you're really Jesus, get us down off these crosses and stuff. That's what he's basically saying. And what did the other one say? The other one said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Yeah, he believed.
And he said, verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today.
So that's
not tomorrow, not when the rapture comes, none of that other stuff. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Well, don't you think that that same today that he said to him, he says to us every day? I mean, the mercies just don't jump out there. We got to see them as it is. That which he's purchased is purchased for all mankind. None should be in captivity. I wonder sometimes when I walk around the neighborhood, I'm actually looking to have an ear, and I wait to hear somebody say, can I talk to you? I said, sure. And I don't say, no, I don't have time. You make time. Maybe that's why we're retired. You make time. And in making time, you say, okay, God, you're not saying it out loud, but you're saying to God, show me what they need. Show me what, when your word don't return void. I close my mouth so many times, a lot of people have a hard time thinking that I could do that, but so many times where God is, through his spirit, said, do not open your mouth. Be still and know that I'm God. And we need to be still. We need to practice being still and knowing he's God. Why? So we can have the understanding and the wisdom, and that word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God will never return void. I mean, you can have somebody. I had a girl, if you don't care, I had a girl knock on my door one time, and I had heard Brother Shepherd's voice so many times tell me, he said, hear what they're saying, but he said, listen for what the Spirit's saying to them. And this lady started talking to me and everything. And I heard God say, tell her what she's here for. And I did. And she started crying. My baby just died. What are you hearing when you hear that? Through the Spirit, you're hearing a grieving mother, and she says, we have no money, nothing to help bury the baby or anything. As soon as I heard that, it was like God had brought four or five churches to me that I knew I could make contact with. I said, don't worry about that. That'll be taken care of. You don't have to go anywhere else that are taken care of. And I contacted five churches. Every one of them gave us $500. I went to work to a guy that whose name they put on a backstabber. They made it a backstabber and put his name on that. So whoever put that up there didn't care for this guy. But you know, God put that guy in a position that day that I went to work. He said, go, he's in a position to help. So I went and I started telling him the story about that girl. And I said, I'd appreciate it if there's anything you can do. He said, well, let me think about it and I'll get back to you. 15 minutes later, he called me up. I said, Clyde? I go, yeah. He said, and because I never told him about $500, about anybody. I never told any of them about that. He said, I got a check up here for $500. Who do I make it out to? I said, Hodev Funeral Home. He said, okay. He said, come up and get it. So I came up and got it. I went down there and told that story of the guy I knew put that backstabber up there. I told him what that guy did. He reached over, and that backstabber had been up there for years. Reached up there and pulled it down, ripped that thing up and threw it in the garbage. I want to tell you, people are waiting for you to help change their mind. And when there's something good done from somebody, we need to tell them. We need to tell the people that need to hear it, because it will change them, not just for a moment. But I'll tell you what, I went with a guy to a breakfast, and he had told me, he said, you know, he was leaving. And I had to walk over to him. He said, for years, I didn't think much of him. He said, but I walked over to him. He said, I have to tell you. He said, what's that? I said, you're leaving for the last time, aren't you? He goes, yeah. He said, I've been proud to know you. You're a changed man. I believe God of the universe lives and abides within us. He changes not, but he changes everyone that come in contact with him.
Right.
See, I a lot of times I'll tell people I can't even change my pants sometimes, but God can change a whole life. He can give them a vision and a hope. And if we let that possess us, Christ in you and you in Christ. I agree with that. And you in Christ. If we let that possess us, grab hold of us to where it wants to squeeze love out on somebody, hope out on somebody, encouragement out on somebody, whether they know him or not. Mm-hmm. There's a beginning for all of us. You know, I'm talking too much.
Well, it's about time to.
But
I don't think we can have time to start any new subject. Anybody got anything else to say?
Well, one thing I got to say is what I said last Sunday. God is a way maker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper, light in the darkness. He's also love.
Yes, amen.
Wonderful.
I like that song.
Wonderful.
If you want to wrap this whole chapter up, basically all of these different ministries here that he's talking about, if they function in love, they're going to be to build people up, not to tear people down. They're going to be built to restore, not to destroy. You know, and that's what we need to be, is with repairers of the breach out there in humanity, you know. And humanity is looking for, they're still saying the same thing that they said when Jesus knew that his time, here on earth in the natural form mm-hmm. was over mm-hmm. when they came to him and said, the Greeks and them are coming and saying, we would see Jesus.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And mankind is still saying that, we would see Jesus.
Yes.
And until we show them Jesus, mm-hmm. they're not going to believe. And I got news for you. He's going to appear, but he's going to appear in his body. Mm-hmm. And you're his body. And a lot of times we need, when we find ourselves falling short in some of these areas, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, please come into my life and change this area. Help me be an expression of you, not a depression of you.
Amen. That's good.
You know, because so many times, you know, if we're not careful, we're being a depression. We're showing people depression, not impression of what the Lord really is. You know, the love that you're talking about and the forgiveness and the ministry to people when they have a need, you know, and stuff. And, you know, so many of the people in the church, and I'm talking about all the churches and this church, all of us, you know, that, you know, when we see a need, when you see a man overtaken in a fault, we're supposed to restore
such a one
in the spirit of meekness, doing what? Considering yourself.
Right.
Lest you also be tempted. Well, you know, we're supposed to be about restoration, not about
destruction,
destroying anything, you know.
Well, you know what? The word says, this will be the last thing I say. The word says, if I be lifted up,
yeah.
I'll draw all men unto me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah. If you have children, neighbors, it shouldn't just be our kids. Come on. It ought to be everyone that we ever come in contact with and those that are future contacts that we haven't met yet. Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think a living hope is what God wants us to be.
Amen.
Praise God. Mike?
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the encouragement today that you've given us to go out and show your love, Lord, to all the people we come in contact with. Thank you for all the things that I've learned today. And Father, I just want to give you all the praise and glory. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.